And I'll ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Take as my text, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This has been one of my favorite texts for many years. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. The idea is that whatever God would set before you, that you would try with all your might to glorify God in whatever the task would be. In Matthew 28, Jesus Christ sends us out in the commission, the Great Commission, and says, go into all the world, an impossible task, especially with the hard-hearted sinners. And yet, Jesus Christ says, I will go with you. They could say in the Great Commission that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:18 is perhaps one of the best known verses in the scriptures, and it is often something taken for granted. Many of us have that on a plaque on a wall to remind us that we can do the things that God has set before us in a given day. It's often found in a picture or a plaque in many a Christian home. We admire the text because it stands for some great principle, for all it stands for. It exudes Christian character. A character can be defined as the combination of qualities that distinguish one from another. In sports, you can admire a team that overcomes adversity. In sports, you can also see a team that sticks together even in that same adversity. A greater example is perhaps the Apostle Paul. When you start thinking about some of the things that he suffered, he suffered shipwreck, he suffered abandonment. He had suffered so many things that we would look at him and then think that many of our trials that we have are quite easy compared to some of the things that he suffered. But he overcame them all. Verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He is no theorist. A theorist being someone who would just give you advice but never being able to go through it himself or herself. People that give advice are often that way. They don't know how to do what they're telling you to do, and yet from there they stand with great authority and say, well, I could get advantage over your sending any day of the week. Perhaps we start thinking about the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God and all the opponents and all the things that stand in our way. Still greater in all this is the character of Jesus Christ. He overcame sin and death and hell, as we've just finished singing. Determination. He said, I will build my church. There's not anything that could ever stop him. The gates of hell cannot prevail against him. The gates of hell being something of a defensive weapon, something not being able to overcome Jesus Christ. We read in the scriptures that Jesus Christ set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says, as far as all the things he's talking about, be ye followers of me, that is, be imitators of me, as I also am of Christ. I'd like to set before you one simple thought, that Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 13 is the epitome of Christian character. I'd like to set three things before you, three pillars, as it were, of Christian character. One is determination, the other is dependence, the other is devotion. I would suggest that you cannot have one of these or two of these without all three, because they depend so much on the three. You can't have dependence without determination. You can't have a devotion without dependence. What would devotion without dependence be but someone who does not have the strength to be able to meet what he has said to do? What is determination without devotion? That's self-will. And we know that's taken in many a case where a person says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and really has his own agenda in hand. If he has no devotion in Christ, no devotion to Christ, he has no way or no reason to be able to rely on such a verse as this. I'd like to begin with this one verse, one idea of determination. It says in our text, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And remember, this is not boasting if it's something done in the Lord. It's something done by the strength of the Lord. It is something that's very, very good. The opposite is I can't. And it conveys powerlessness. Imagine coming to a prayer meeting with no power there. Imagine coming to a prayer meeting where everyone just has these puny requests that they would make only so they wouldn't be disappointed. Pray, Lord, that I'll have a good day tomorrow. And pray that Aunt Susie will get over a cold or such things like that. Now, those things are important. but at the same time praying for those things which are impossible, humanly impossible. Raising children. Parents will do everything for a child up until a certain time. And then comes the time where the child says, I can do it. Let me do it. That determination that even a child would have. What does it mean to say I can? What does it mean to have that positive outlook when it comes to the Christian outlook? Jesus Christ, she says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. The idea is that when you send someone to Christ, you have the confidence of knowing that they won't be rejected. Imagine giving advice to somebody and say, you go to Christ and he won't reject you. And then Jesus Christ comes up and says, no, I won't have you. Imagine the feeling of the ambassador feeling the letdown, but that can't happen. Jesus Christ says, I will in no wise cast out. We read some things as far as some of the great words of the Christian faith. I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know it. It's a fact. Determination, Christian determination. But how does one come up with such conviction? I would say, first of all, it's based on God's word. Remember what happened in Moses. Moses goes into the wilderness. Moses goes before the burning bush. And he rightly has no determination to be able to do what he is asked to do. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He comes up and says, God, you send somebody else because I can't do it. You want me to go before Pharaoh, the most powerful man of our time, and be able to say, let my people go with great authority, with a determination? You remember the illustration that God gives him. He asks him, what is that in thine hand? And from there, everyone that could ever know anything, a child would know that what he has in his hand is a staff. But they would also know it's only a staff. It's a piece of dead wood. That's all it is. But God's point is that when that rod is stretched out in front of the Red Sea parts. It's called the rod of God. It's called the power of God. It's called all sorts of things, but what it is an object lesson to say that Moses, when you're in my hand, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. After he had gone through that, he went through with more confidence. He meant he would go to God and say, take me instead of the people. He would use himself as a great object lesson of Jesus Christ praying in intercession for his people, knowing that he would be heard. Say, after that time, God taught him well. God taught him that he could indeed do all things through Christ, which strengthens him. But sadly enough, many people lack this same determination. Oftentimes it's for a good reason. Elijah is a great illustration of someone who lacked the determination for a while. He had great determination when he went before Jezebel, went before all those kings. There were hundreds of people going against him, hundreds of Baal worshippers, all against one man, Elijah. He stands before them and he mocks their God, saying, perhaps your God sleepeth, or maybe he must be awakened. Mocking them, making fun of them in front of all these people who could take his life at any moment with great gospel determination. But you remember what happens after God answers by fire and all the great work of God is done. Then from there, Jezebel comes and says, I'm going to make your life like one of them by tomorrow at this time because I swear by my own gods. Swears by false gods and he runs in terror, goes under a juniper tree and wishes for himself to die. Very human man, very, very human, very weak man. But then from there, God takes coals and bakes bread for him and says, go in that journey for 40 days. And he does. The determination is restored because of God's own word. God takes his own word and gives it to his people. The two spies are a great example compared with the other eight spies. You remember that the 10 spies go into the land. They see that God had told them the truth. God had said, this is a land that flows with milk and honey. God was a faithful God. God is a faithful God. Everything he promises comes to pass. There's one problem. They were greater than them. So all the people come and bring back. The eight people come back and say, look, God told the truth, but we're not able to do this. We do not have the determination to move God's kingdom forward because they are bigger than us. Caleb and Joshua says, yes, they are bigger than us, but they're not bigger than our God. So when we start thinking about things that are impossible for us, start thinking about the unsaved loved one that just refuses to come, start thinking about all the sin that we have in our land and say it's impossible, Yes, it is impossible for us. We could come up with as many schemes as possible. We could come up with all these ideas as far as winning people by tricking them and all the other things, and it would fall flat on its face. But we don't need to do that. We need the determination that God gives in His Word. God gives a promise that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. He says, if you come to me, I'll do great things. You go in the power of my might. Again, Jesus Christ says, all power is given unto me, both in on the earth, everywhere, because of His authority, because of His perfect life, because of His perfect obedience, because of His pleasing to God, because of the precious blood that was shed. Because of that blood, there is power in the blood to go forward and to be able to do the things of God. We can indeed say all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. Matthew 28 again. Start looking at the Great Commission. But I'd say it's also based on experience. Paul, turn if you would to Acts 18. See, every day that God teaches us, every day that God gets us through a trial is yet another a confidence build, as it were. Something where God takes our lives in and shows us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Acts chapter 18, begin our reading in verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Again, we have this ongoing desire for Paul to do the will of God and the confidence that he had. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, verse 6, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. So this is one of the encouragements that God was given as far as experience in his life. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. That's amazing. Here's the kingdom of God going forward by the strength that God gives and by the experience where Paul knew that he had a reliable God that wouldn't let him down. Goes on, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night vision, night by a vision, be not afraid and speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. Start seeing what's going on as the Apostle Paul lives his life. He lives a life knowing that God did not let him down yet again. God helped him again. And I think we have the same idea in our lives. How many times has God gotten you through in your life that you can testify that if God were not for us, if the Lord had not been on your side in that particular day, you would have fallen right flat on your face if it had not been for God. So I believe God gives determination based on the experiences of those people in the Scriptures and our reading about them, but also in the experiences that God gives us. But I also think it's based on God's will. Turning back to our text. Again, if we would take that determination and think that we can do things outside of God's will, that somehow we can watch a televangelist and say that only if you believe you can start getting great things. You can start getting a great bank account and all the other such nonsense. Since it is Christ's strength, it has to be His will. Christ is not going to give you the strength to blaspheme Him. Christ is not going to give you that strength to be able to oppose Him. Look at verse chapter 4 and then verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. It was not God's will to keep Paul from affliction. Back in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He knows what it's like to have the lean years. Knows what it's like to have disappointments. But at the same time, he knows when it's God's will that it will come to pass. Something so beautiful to see something in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, the power of Christ was with him, despite the fact that he had afflictions. And he gloried in those afflictions, because he knew that God was working through a mere vessel, a mere clay vessel, to be able to get his will been done. It was God's will for a prosperous witness, though. Although it was not God's will for the Apostle Paul to have all these wealth, all this wealth and all these great riches, it was God's will for God to bless his ministry. Look at Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Can you see there's a people that have come to Christ through his ministry? See, this determination is based on God's will, but God will indeed bless your witness. I've said many a time, as far as my favorite verse in John 17, as far as looking at it and saying something in verse 20, where it says, Jesus Christ praying, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Say that to every believer in Jesus Christ. God is going to bless your witness. He's promised right here in this high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. But determination is based on God's will. We have to surrender to God's will. But what are the all things in our text? It says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If we have this determination, we have to know what the determination is to do. Think, first of all, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord. So the all things have to do with everything that is going to be good for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? We see something of what these all things are here. I think also we can say another thing are the all things that Christ does is helps us in our preaching, evangelization, and teaching. Again, we remember that from Matthew 28 where Christ goes with us. Christ has, as it were, a vested interest in building his kingdom because he's really the one that built it. We read in the Old Testament, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless God is doing the working in your souls, then from there your labor is in vain. But it is not in vain in Christ Jesus when you say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Also say, I can overcome sin in my life. You might say to me, how can you dare say you can overcome sin in your life? Does not Luther say something on earth is not his equal? We'll not take the time to read much of it, but Proverbs chapter 7 begins with, my son, keep my words and lay out my commandments with thee. It goes on to talk about, take this law, take the word of God and bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. Then after that, he shows this great personification of wickedness coming after him, as a harlot coming after him with great temptation that no mere man can withstand. Then from there, he says, this is how you do it. You cleave unto the Lord your God. Call wisdom your kinswoman. That is so close to the person that you love. You call that from there. That's how you'll overcome sin in your life. By loving the Lord God and drawing nigh unto him. James chapter 4 verse 7 is also a great illustration as far as a way to overcome sin in your life. James chapter 1. James chapter 4. Submit yourselves, verse 7, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I wonder, in the week to come, is there going to be a temptation that's going to be overwhelming to your soul? One that makes you question whether you're saved or not. One that shakes your confidence, your determination that's going to make it, am I really saved? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Take that on your heart, my dear believing friend, and realize that when you're in the middle of a great temptation, you can overcome sin in your life based on the Christ, the power of the blood. You plead the blood and come unto him and ask him for such. I can also do things that I have no inherent capability of doing. start thinking of Moses. Moses knew that he had no inherent capability of being able to come and preach and talk to Pharaoh. None. No capability of saying, let my people go, because Pharaoh was just going to laugh at him. But he was not going to be able to laugh at God. I can also understand God's word. The Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand this unless some man should guide me? Unless God himself would guide you, but we can understand God's word based on the doing all things through Christ, which strengthens us once again. Last of all, I can live forever. I can do all these things only because of Christ. And these are just some of the things, a sampling of the things that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But we dare not eliminate those things which come about in our everyday lives. You know, many a soul has come to me in recent times and saying, well, can I really do something which is great? Could I become maybe the best soccer player in the world? And oft times there could be a little bit of a trap here as far as going and playing on the Sabbath. But in and of itself, you can say this and take this verse. Because if you seek to honor God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to be able to have power to do things that other people can't do. They don't have Christ. Again, this has to do with all these other things that we'll talk about, the dependence and also the other things as far as I mentioned. But we dare not tell our children that there's anything they can't do. Why tell your child that he just can't do that? Give up. Because then you in essence teach him to give up on prayer. We need people that are determined Christians. We need people that have the determination of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You start off thinking you can't do it. You're halfway there. If you start off coming to a prayer meeting and say, this is not going to be done, you might as well not even come. It has everything to do with faith. It has determination. But let's go on with something about dependence. Again, there's no such thing as this determination without a dependence on Christ. You need a source of strength. Thou, through Christ which strengthens me, is in our passage. Now, dependence is often disdained as a weakness. I remember telling you a story a long time ago about this one young woman wanted to come to Christ, but it seemed like her husband, who was an atheist, would always look at her and stare her down and saying, religion is nothing but a crutch. Nothing but something where you have to lean on. The implication is the godless are strong. Are they? Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Isaiah 40, the last verses that are very, very familiar to our souls, where it talks about they that wait upon the Lord. Where it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. There's something of a dependence on Christ. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You look at this whole idea as far as the crutch, and from there it has nothing to do with it. You could do a million times greater with Christ than you can without him. Note also dependence is dependability. That is in God. We come to a God who has never forsaken his promise, who has been dependable throughout all history. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. But what's the opposite? Confidence in a faithful man is someone who will deliver every single time. That's an amazing thing. It says in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Because he's dependable. Start thinking about something of the greatness of our Savior. Again, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. Jesus Christ will not cast out any soul that will ever come to him. That's dependability in an infinite degree. When you're witnessing for Jesus Christ, we know that you can send him to someone who will not turn him away. Hebrews chapter 6, if I could read that for you for a moment. Hebrews chapter 6 shows us something of the reliability of the Lord Jesus Christ. verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. I'm reading from 7, excuse me. Verse 7. For the earth... Now I'm reading from Hebrews. I'm really doing great today. Forgive me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Immutability has the idea of this cannot fail. It is well said that Jesus Christ has done all things well. I saw on a plaque many years ago that my mom had in her home where it says, Jesus never fails. It's the truth. Dependence is dependability because he's always comes through. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, but fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I love the language there. An anchor is something that will not let go. We hold the ship in place, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the and within the veil, whither the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Another favorite verse comes in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. You can name any promise that Christ has ever given. It either will be fulfilled or has been fulfilled because of this dependability of our Savior Jesus Christ. But also, may I say something about dependence and design. That atheist that laughed at his wife. Genesis chapter 1, have you ever considered that every single thing that God created was designed? The word designed, very, very, underline it 100 times. Designed to be dependent on God. Name one blade of grass that could have lived 48 hours without God. There was none. There was not any breath in any of the nostrils of anything that he had created that didn't depend on God every single last second. Again, I read from Isaiah chapter 2, whose man whose breath is in his nostrils. God takes away one breath and is gone. It says very well in James that our breath, our life is but just a mist. Something that goes up and just... But what it's saying is that we are designed to be dependent upon God. Man comes along and through Satan says, well, God holding back something from you, you don't really need God. What you really need is defy God. What folly. But dependence is something that we creatures are. Even the atheists are dependent upon God for their food, for their light, for their raiment, everything. They're created to be dependent. And they stand there and says, no, we're not. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But I would suggest again that we're designed to be dependent upon God. So if you can understand that about yourself in creation, how much more after you've sinned? How much more after man has fallen into sin? But we can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, because that's what you're designed to do. And once Christ has saved us and brought us back to where we ought to be, where a man was supposed to be, then we are indeed dependent upon God. So it's also say dependence declared. That is in God's word. Remember in John 15, Jesus Christ says, I am the vine and you're the branches. And he says, without me you can do nothing. Here's the same truth as what I've been preaching to you. Same truth only in the negative form. Saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and without me you can do nothing, or one in the same verse. Something of what we need. In Psalm 119, verse 176, the psalmist, after talking about great words of faith, after talking about great prayers to God, after talking about faith that we would long for, he says in the very last verse, that he was a lost lamb and God needed to seek him. dependency declared. The lamb depends on the shepherd. And so should we. Turn, if you would, just for a moment to Psalm 18. Verse of great intrigue. Verse 31. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Again, we get back to this whole idea of depending upon God, and they that wait upon the Lord receive this kind of strength because we're designed to be dependent upon God. Determination, yes. Dependent, yes. But all would be lost without devotion. Where is it in our text? Say, it is so much part of the text that it is sinful rebellion to teach anything or to go anything against the devotion for Christ. Must understand Paul. It is God's strength which gave him the strength to have a devotion and a desire to serve Christ himself. Let's begin by talking in devotion by the devotee's lover, that is, Jesus Christ. You see, because of this, you are loved with an everlasting love. And we can have devotion because he first loved us. Romans chapter 5. And the verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due times Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Can you see something about owing Christ? Something about, because he loves me, I owe him everything. Everything belongs to him. Because he loves me, I need to devote my entire life on Christ. Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? Start looking about this one who loves us with an everlasting love. And because of that love, that we have a devotion to God because he first loved us. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. As the love of Christ holds us in place, it puts us where we need to be. It puts us in the position to be the lover of Christ, and that we can return his love because he first loved us. What about the devotee's love, the person, our love for Christ? We have a verse that in Romans chapter 9 that we'll not turn to, where the Apostle Paul wishes that he himself would become accursed, that his brethren would be saved. Start looking about the love that we have for sinners in this place. We come and ask the Lord to save our loved ones. We have the Apostle Paul giving us a great example of the love that we have for others because he first loved us. It's a reflected love. I like the illustration of the moon. When you look up in the moon has no light in and of itself. It's all reflected love. Start looking about the moon being somewhat of a picture of the church. No light of itself, but it reflects the love of the Son of righteousness, which rises with healing in his wings. So there's something of the devotee's love. But the devotee's life. Again, this life would now be a life lived with devotion for Christ. And again, we start looking about this whole the idea of determination, dependence. But where would that all be without devotion? Without devoting everything and desiring that everything that you do would be to his honor and his glory. Get back to the athlete that wants to be a champion athlete. Do you want to be a champion athlete just because for the admiration of people around you? Or would you like to be a champion of sorts in prayer? A prayer warrior. A person that when he speaks to God, people know that he lays hold on the throne of grace and he gets to him. You know, a few of us have had the pleasure of being able to go into a place where the Free Presbyterian ministers are gathered together. Our brother Wayne is this past week of prayer. But when you go there, you'll hear people laying hold on the throne of grace like you've never heard before. Truly a treat. But has the idea of devotion to Christ and the desire to do His will, to be His servant. In Philippians chapter 3, back in our text, we have some of the things that the Apostle Paul has done. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that would suggest that that is a type of Christ in the entire passage. It's describing Christ's truth, the honesty, the just. You go through that list and you'll see something of a picture of Christ in every last one of them. The devotee's life. Exodus chapter 21. Right after the giving of the Ten Commandments comes a little bit of an intriguing story where it talks about a servant would be have to serve for these 7 years, but on the seventh year he was allowed to be free again. But then it says, well, suppose his master gave him a wife and children during that time. If he came in with a wife and children, he would leave with a wife and children. But if his master gave him a wife and child, like he does in Christian marriages, like when he joins two godly people together, if the master gave you the wife, it says, from there it says, I will not leave. Because he would have the choice of serving his master for the rest of his life. You start thinking about some of the implications of that. He says the reason he was willing to do that because he loves his master, he loves his wife, he loves his children. There's an importance of the order there. Because I would say to any man that he cannot love his wife like he's supposed to love it unless he loves his master first. It might sound selfish to the world, saying, well, shouldn't he love his wife first? Well, no, he shouldn't. Because he's not going to be able to love his wife unless he loves Christ first. He can't do it. And he can't love his children unless he loves his wife before them and loves his master before them. Only then can he give the kind of love that he has to give as a devoted servant to the Lord. Again, this whole idea of this three pillars of Christian character. If you consider one without the other, it all falls flat on its face. Again, I said determination and dependence without devotion is self-will. Devotion without dependence is a sham. Dependence without determination, no advancement in the kingdom of God. So each one of these three, if you decide you want to go out and do something great for the Lord, you decide that you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Remember these three points. Remember you have to have a determination, a dependence, and a devotion on the God who saved your soul. Let us pray. Our righteous Father in heaven, we ask thee, O Lord, that thou would even take these words, Lord, and write them upon our hearts. We pray, Lord, that the determination of the Lord Jesus Christ would be something we would imitate, that we would pray without ceasing, that we would imitate his example in prayer. Thank thee, O Lord, for our Savior Jesus Christ. We ask thee, O Lord, that as we would know something of him strengthening us, we would know that strength to be translated into souls won for the kingdom of God. The strength would be used to witness. The strength would be used to teach other people of the things of Christ. The strength would be used to witness. The strength would be used for the honor and glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, let the strength, the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and that we would even sing unto the Lord with great gladness and great devotion. For it's in Jesus Christ's bountiful name we pray. Amen.